Back here with Shawn Michaels on the Ross Report. This has been great. It's probably one of the more informative, open and honest shows that we've had in our run here, our long run. I wanted to ask.
So it's easy to be honest when you don't know anything.
Well, it's good though. That's good. Honesty's good. Honesty's good. Honesty usually works. How was your experience on Saturday night at the Hall of Fame with the clique getting kind of back together? The band got together for a few minutes there. How was that for you?
It was spectacular. It really was. That was the entire reason I was there. I had an appearance at Access as well. But it was phenomenal. I mean, I love seeing the guys. It was so great to see Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, and I told him this. I said, "You got a smile that lights up the room." And it wasn't a pretend smile. It was nothing was put on. I mean, he was, the smile with a twinkle in his eye and all that. And it was so phenomenal to see. And much like, we got my one buddy from high school, Kenny, and he and I cannot see each other for years and years, and we can pick up right where we left off. And and we're all the same way, and Scott was the same way. He's as funny as ever. Nash, of course, is, hilarious.
Yep.
But it was just, I can't recall when I've had a better time at the Hall of Fame.
That's good.
And it was just so great sharing that moment with him and with all the guys. It really was. It was, to say I was over the moon about it was just, it was just great. Because then we got to spend all day with each other and then sitting around watching it together and just doing some of the stuff we used to do and laughing and chuckling. It was tremendous.
Yeah, priceless. Priceless moments, man. Hey, you know what? Kevin is, he's cool. He's too cool for school. And I love Kevin. And Scott, I saw Scott at an appearance last fall. And he was straight and had his kid there, son Cody. And, you never know when guys get clean how long it's going to last. You pray that it's going to last forever, but it's a day at a time. But I've been communicating with him some, with Scott, and I've really enjoyed it. He's so smart. Man, he's got a mind for the business that's scary. Really, really, you've got great instincts. But, Sean, the thing that the one thing that really struck me at that deal was the fact that Sean Waltman got to be a part of it as well. He was there. Because, look, you were the you're a Hall of Fame guy, and, who's better than Shawn Michaels? Nobody. And then Scott Hall finally makes it to the Hall of Fame and gets acknowledged. And Kevin will be in the Hall of Fame someday, layup. That's a slam dunk, no pun intended. But, to see Shawn Waltman up there, who's had a great career, but he didn't have the – he wasn't the WWE champion. He didn't, he was not that guy. People forget how good he was. And he was very, very good. I mean, really, really good. And he's another guy that's got a great instinct for the business. I was happy to see him with all of his buddies and just thought back to the day. And, I just thought that was just cool as heck that all of
you. It was. I mean, and it's funny. We all – it's just amusing how it all goes full circle. We were just reminiscing about, oh, my goodness, what a pain in the butt we were. And now being, years later and older and, you can chuckle about it. And those guys, I mean, Kev and Scott and Kid, I mean, they do a number of appearances with each other. They get to see each other all the time. And obviously Hunter's, at work all the time. I guess I'm saying it's one of those things, I always feel like odd man out in some respects because I'm just so not in touch with the business, even though I'm starting doing some appearances and stuff like that. But, it's just, when you get with them or when I get with them, I can get re-engaged to it. I mean, they can re-engage me. But it's mostly just, talking about, again, our lives now, our kids, or whatever experiences, we're going through now. And that's what I enjoy most. But, listen to Scott talk about, you know, his son and, you know, his son like rolling his eyes and, you know, when his dad's talking about wrestling, because he's just dad to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of us, you know, whatever, you know, talking about our kids, talking about adult older life. And that's just, it's just amusing to me. That's what I enjoy most about it is all of us sort of all these years later chuckling about, you know, the past and then where we're at now, because they're, you know, for the most part, they're polar opposites. You know, we're all just grown men with kids and talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was just great. I enjoy just watching. It was like that voyeur just looking, and it was just cool as heck. And hey, during your career, did you have any kind of relationship with Warrior?
Just briefly. I mean, you know, obviously when he was on top there, you know, Marty and I were in a tag team, and Warrior was always great with us, always very nice. I mean, I remember, I don't remember all the details, but heck, he invited, I want to say it was Marty and I and a couple other folks to his place in when he lived in Arizona, and you know, we went out there and trained and stuff like that. And heck, I can remember at one time I was going to move just to Dallas, and because it was easier to fly out of there. And, you know, Warrior had a home there, and he said, "Well, go by and check it out. I got a place out in Grapevine." It was, you know, obviously I went, and you know, a little too pricey for me at the time, you know. But I mean, he was always very nice with us. I mean, you know, again, heard the stories and yada yada yada, and again, we've all got them.
Oh yeah.
And but I got to briefly see him before he went out and made his speech, and you know, just saw him there with his girls, and just you know, like I do with so many people that I've, you know, from my past, I just had to go up to him and tell him, hey, you know, just want to tell you, it's just seeing you here with these two. You know, it's just a beautiful picture, and you know, I just wanted to tell you. And he goes, "Oh man, I appreciate it." And he said, "You know, I always, you know, hear, you know, see interviews you. You always talk about your family." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "You know, I realized that, you know, a number of things I did in the past was all dumb, and this is what it's all about. I mean, there's nothing, in my opinion, you know." And all this other stuff, again, is as enjoyable as it is, and these moments, as enjoyable as they are, nothing will be more important. You know, your legacy is, you know, right here next to you. It's, you know, in my humble opinion, it's not out there. You know, it's got nothing to do with rings or belts or any of that kind of stuff. It's you know, those little people you raise. And I just wanted to take the time to, you know, tell them congratulations, obviously, on the Hall of Fame, but more importantly, congratulations on the greatest accomplishment of all, and that's being a dad.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was nice. It was just very nice.
I really regret, you know, that weekend I didn't get a chance to, our paths didn't cross, because I don't think he didn't stay at the hotel with where everybody else was, as I understand it. At least he did. I didn't see him. And I hadn't seen him since that little cup of coffee he had when he came back around WrestleMania 12. We wrestled Hunter. The night you and Brett had your 60-minute match. And if I'm not mistaken, that's when he came back. And, yeah. And then, you know, then I knew him for his second territory. He had a cup of coffee there in Memphis with Sting as a Blade Runners. Then he came to work for Cowboy Bill in the UWF. And he was there a while, and him and Bill got sideways, and then he went to Dallas and became the Dingo Warrior. But I never really got to know him, UWS, so I never had a relationship with him, good, bad, or indifferent. But I never got a chance to say hello to him. And, yeah, I say on the show all the time, you know, our tomorrows are not guaranteed.
Right.
Nowhere. Nobody has tomorrow guaranteed. And that really struck me, because I wanted to at least say hello to him, and I didn't get a chance to do that. I regret that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know what? I know there were a number of people that, you know, whatever, didn't say anything when they did see him or had bad things to say. And you know, again, I get all that, but I do not waste my time with any of that negativity. And I obviously, being a guy that, you know, has no place to judge, I do my best not to do it with, anybody else. And to me, I don't care. We've all made mistakes, and I get it. And we've all done and said things we regret. But I don't know how much time I have, and I don't know how much time I'm going to see people. And I just don't waste my time harboring any of that old junk.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been people I've seen at the Hall of Fame that the last time I saw them, they were mean to me, and I still, I still make it a point to go up and say congratulations, and I'm sorry if whatever. Whatever you want to say is my faith or whatever, or my age, I don't know, but I no longer waste my time with any of that negative stuff, especially when it comes to the wrestling business. But also my personal life, I'm just not going to waste a lot of time harboring any ill will towards anybody. When, I get the opportunity, I'm going to do my best to make good on it. And if not, just whatever. Have my last words to someone be pleasant.
Good.
And obviously, not knowing what was coming, I'm very thankful that I did that in Warrior's case.
Yeah. I wish I'd have got that chance. I really do. I regret that. I was looking back at your WrestleMania history, and and I kind of hinting around to some fans on Twitter and on my website about what was Sean's greatest WrestleMania match? And it's amazing that the people have such a diverse amount of opinions. I thought that, this generation will probably think it's Undertaker because it's the latest thing. Your last two matches at WrestleMania were with the Undertaker. And they, don't get me wrong, a lot of people love those matches, as did I. But, man, I got Chris Jericho, I got Hulk Hogan, I got Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, Vince McMahon, John Cena, Ric Flair, even the WrestleMania 11, Diesel, and the triple threat match at WrestleMania 20 with you, Triple H, and Chris Benoit got a lot of feedback. Mm-hmm. And you look at that, and man, you see why your body of work is so respected within the boys and the fans, because that list I just read off, Jericho, Hogan, Austin, Triple Threat, Angle, Vince.
Well, I do have to go right to say, no Hogan at WrestleMania. That was at SummerSlam.
But, oh, okay. My bad.
I'm nitpicking there. But I mean, you don't know, whatever, the ladder match with Scott. I mean, that gets mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
But
they're just a diversity. You made everybody... there was not a bad match in the Hogan match. You're right. That's my bad. I wrote that down. Maybe I was a mark for it. I liked it.
Thanks, so was I.
But everybody had different skill sets. Everybody was in a pecking order. Some green, some overripe fruit, whatever. It'd be nice. Some guys, everything was different. But that's the art of being a great performer, is being able to make them work to your level, and you make sure that you don't put them in a position where they can't look good.
Thank you. I guess in some respects, I guess I had a style, but I couldn't begin to, if somebody asked me to describe my style, I couldn't tell you. I mean, one of the things I enjoyed doing was adjusting to, anyone that I worked with. I mean, I also got some great guys, and I don't know how really it happened, but everybody was sort of, it's very easy to do when you have like-minded folks that want to really just, go out there and have the best match possible. I found myself in that situation a lot. I mean, there were very few times, I don't even know that I can think of any, where any of it was really a struggle, where I really had to, wear somebody down, so to speak, or convince them, of something. And so, a lot of it has to do with, adjusting. I mean, I had to wrestle far more with Angle than I did with, Undertaker, so to speak. But that was, I thought that was neat. I mean, that's, sounded like a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Vince's skill sets were unrefined, but he had amazing heat as a heel.
Right. Yeah. Well, and again, and you get to make that, you know, sort of no holds barred, and you know, you get to do, you know, anytime you can bring in the toys, that's helpful. And I guess at the same time, you know, concentrating, you know, on the story as well, you know, the psychology and things of that nature, all those things that, you know, that you put together. I always, you know, that was the absolutely the number one most enjoyable thing about the job was, you know, putting the physical, you know, the physical stuff is just sort of the physical stuff, but putting it in the right places and, you know, and so that it would tell the story that you're trying to tell. You know, like people ask, you know, talk to me about the Flair match, and I always tell people, well, you know, it was a love story that happened to be during a wrestling match. You know, I mean, you know, I can remember writing that out and thinking, like, you know, and it was, you know, there were tears on the page, 2:00 in the morning, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, they're going to look at me and, like, you know, they're going to laugh at me, like, oh my, what are you talking about, your fruitcake? But, you know, they, you know, both Rick and Michael, you know, they got it. They got what I was trying to do. And the thing is, the fans got it. I mean, they did, you know, I don't know, I guess because at one time, I mean, had I done that match maybe 10 or 15 years earlier, they might not have responded that way. It would have been a little too mushy for them. But it wasn't then. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, I always thought more about that stuff so much than whatever, than the physical, than the moves or the, you know, the bumps or whatever. Those are just sort of a backdrop to, you know, the emotion that you're trying to stir in a match. And that's what I always enjoyed most about it was the, you know, the emotion.
Yeah, the psychological aspect of what the story you're telling. You know, when you mouth the words, I love you, before you give them the sweet chin music, I mean, you know, I'm glad I was wearing dark pants. It was a moment, man. I mean, that was, and I call a lot of matches in a big environment with a lot of key moments, generation changing moments and things. But I didn't come to you before that match and say, hey, Sean, what are you guys going to do? I didn't want to know. I just wanted to, hey, can I get in the back seat and just kind of ride along? I'll narrate while you guys drive wherever you want to drive.
Then you get to a Jericho and an angle where you're talking about, you know, it's not so much emotion as it is now. It's, you know, it's competition. It's between two guys that dream matches that people didn't think they see or they want to see, and, you know, and how they'll match up, and that's a completely different type of mindset. And, you know, so, I mean, but that's what I always, you know, I enjoyed about it is trying to get, you know, a number of those different situations, you know, I don't know, I guess to where they weren't too many duplicates, I guess, so to speak, you know. And you know, you get a scene where people, you'll see the veteran guy against, you know, the younger guy who certainly appears, you know, to be the man, and you know, this sort of a, you know, and that's one of the things I enjoyed about your commentary. You know, I mean, it's very, the story's easier to tell from a physical standpoint when you've got, you know, the announcers talking about it being a finishing school, and you know what I mean? And so all those things need to sort of come together. And when you've got a number of talented folks doing it, it's a little easier to do.
Look, I want to, I see you tell those stories about these matches, and the ones that I was lucky enough to call, I've become like a kid again. And I get, you know, when you're 62 and you can feel like a kid on any occasion, it's not a bad thing. But man, it just puts me right back in that place, that special place that I cherish. And it was really, thinking of those matches you had with some of those guys were just, it's hard not to be emotional. And I shouldn't be so old and silly, but it is. So anyway,
well, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean one of the things, you know, and I guess that's the thing. I mean, it got emotional for me too, and you know, I don't know, you know, you know, I've heard you comment like, oh, I watched him when he first started, but I don't know how many people know that, you know, I knew that, and you knew that, and that is something that I would imagine you, like me, used to our advantage when we were out there, and that's one thing that I always knew, and so your announcing was going to come from a different place with me sometimes than it did with a lot of other people. There weren't many guys that you could sit there and say, you know, I've seen him from the time he was 19. And so there's a, you know, a growth there that almost nobody in the building is privy to but you and me. And so, and believe me, there are times I don't want to make it sound like I'm Mr. Genius, but knew that I could take advantage of that with you out there. And that affects the delivery, that affects the emotion, and that all plays into what I'm doing in the ring. And you know, so I guess I'm just saying, don't think for a second that I wasn't aware of the value that I got when you were out there announcing, because again, that is, if it means something to you and me, which it does, there's no way that's not going to come across.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's one of those things that I like to think was a difference maker, you know, in a lot of those matches that we were talking about.
Well, they were great. Well, what great memories. We look back at beginnings, and you were in the beginning of Daniel Bryan's career because he came to your school.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see at that time that he was special?
Yes, I knew he was good. I knew that he was very good, and I remember telling him fairly early on, I said, your biggest issue is going to be your size. I said, you're going to have to go through what I went through. I said, but I believe if you stick to it, you know, and I gave him, you know, the old Ted DiBiase line that Ted told me once when I was, you know, frustrated and everything else. You know, he said, eventually talent will rise to the top. And I said, but that's going to be your biggest issue. That's going to be the hardest thing, you know. I said, but you just have to stick with it. But yes, he was a hard worker. He was very talented, and he really enjoyed learning and getting more information and you know, the wrestling aspect of it, the high flying aspect of it. But he's one of those guys. It wasn't long, and you know, he's watching, you know, Japanese stuff. He's one of those guys that can watch everything under the sun. And you put those combinations together, and the only guy that can screw that up is him. And he was a solid young man.
Yeah.
And so I was fairly certain that wasn't going to happen. But you never know. I mean, you don't have any idea what's going to happen, you know, when a person gets in the business. But I've never been surprised at anything that he's done. I guess I didn't know he'd have a big old beard, and that would be and things like that. But
yeah.
But I certainly never doubted his ability and his work ethic at all.
Great character and integrity. You know, it looked like on TV. Again, I'm not in the loop, so I don't know. I'm watching as a fan. No problem with that. It looked like several weeks ago, months ago, that you and he were on this. It looked like, hey, maybe Sean's going to work with Daniel Bryan. You know, that might have, you know, and I, people asked me, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. Was there ever, did you ever have a serious discussion about you and you and Daniel having a match?
No. I've never, you know, every time I go back, people joke about it, or, you know, and you know, I'll get a person here and there that says, you know, like, if we did this and this, would you do it? No, was, you know, I'm, you know, but they're never the decision makers, I guess is what I should say. And, but no, I mean, there was never, I mean, I saw, you know, people on my Twitter, whatever, you know, whatever so-and-so's website saying that, you know, whatever, you're going to come back and the ball's in your court. No, those things were never discussed. You know, the people that need to know where I'm at. And, so no, that's never, no, I mean, it's never been discussed. And the only person that has a say so on whether I were ever wrestled again is me. And, I've remained firm where I'm at. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, I guess I could play with it every now and then, like every year I could pretend to start the rumor or whatever, mm-hmm. but I've never done that because it starts all by itself anyway.
Right, sure does.
Even though I have absolutely never once in the last 4 years, going on, I guess, five now, ever given anyone even the impression that I was entertaining the idea. So those are just things that come up. And as you know, Jim, you know, I stay out of the loop. I come back. I do stuff. I don't. I have recently, you know, decided that I guess I need to, at least when I go back before I do anything, sort of ask, like, where is this going? You know, because, you know, I don't want to disappoint anybody, and I don't want to give anybody, you know, I mean, I don't like to mislead the fans or anything like that, but I also just try to come back, do my job, and go home, you know. And so, you know, I know that it did look like that. I guess I always assumed that, you know, well, they've got a direction, they've got an idea. And some of it was sort of just left out there, you know what I mean? And there was never really much resolution or anything like that. I can say this, there was going to be even less resolution until, you know, at least, you know, after the kick in him, it's like, can I at least go back the next day and let him stretch me? You know what I mean? You know? And, well, you know, because I was just kicking him, and then that was, maybe I shouldn't be saying any of this, but then I threw out the, like, let me stay here till Monday and let him at least, you know, stretch me and get that back. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And, you know, and then I'll go home, and you guys can do whatever you want. But I think most of it was just to just add me, throw me in there, because, you know, people felt like it was a natural fit. But no, there was never, you know, but not to my knowledge. But at the same time, I've also heard that I was supposed to wrestle Eddie Guerrero at whatever it was, the WrestleMania, I wrestled Vince, and nobody ever asked, you know, nobody ever talked to me about that. So, I mean, you know, there may be discussions that go on that the internet guys know about that no one ever mentions to me. I suppose that's possible, but no, I've never given anybody the idea that I was going to wrestle anybody.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time. He's done. He said he's done. He's done. He's happy. Let Sean be happy. He's happy. Do you miss, if you look back on it, and just, this is a couple, three or four questions and we're done. Do you miss the fact that you didn't have a program with or have a WrestleMania level match with Rock?
You know, I can remember many, many years ago, after I came back, that Pat Patterson had, you know, asked about that. And I said, sure. I said, whoever you want, but he wasn't interested. And then that was it. And so, but I mean, I liked anybody, you know, that I hadn't been in the ring with. I mean, that's one of the things, I guess, that, you know, I do know that from a company standpoint, you know, they always tried to, look at WrestleMania and try to find me something new and fresh and something they thought would be interesting, you know, and that the fans would enjoy. But I mean, no, I never, and as you know, certainly when I came back, I never suggested anything. The only thing I ever, you know, the one that I suggested was, you know, was the WrestleMania, again, I guess it was 22 events, because I just felt like having a WrestleMania where, you know, I wasn't sort of expected to go out there and tear the house down, so to speak, or to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
To where it had to be this, you know, you know, phenomenal wrestling match. I just wanted to have one where it was just sort of relaxing and fun.
Kind of Wild West. It was kind of a Mid-South match, you know, is that when Cowboy would come out of retirement and have a match. You knew it was going to be, in his level, an artistic masterpiece, but it was going to be emotional. It was going to sell tickets. It was going to be fun to watch. I thought, somebody sent me a tweet the other day that said, of all the commentary, JR, that you've done, you've never done any more passionate commentary than Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon. And I had never thought about it that way because I had, again, I hadn't gone back and listened to the match. Someday I will. If I ever write a book and I go hit some of my favorites, I'll go back and listen to that match and see what they're talking about. But it just felt like I thought that was one of those old Mid-South kind of Wild West, you know, shoot 'em ups. It wasn't
right.
It wasn't Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels, but boy, it was pretty damn entertaining.
Yeah. Well, no, and I think that goes. I think a lot of that lies, you know, the passion from you lies within the relationship with both guys and what you know about them, what you know about the real guys, and so you know, I think that's again one of those things that I told you, you know, that I always, you know, I knew was going to come and you know, admittedly, took advantage of, but my guess is, you know, that's why, because there was a connection, you know, to both individuals, and you knew a lot more about both of them than probably a lot of people.
Yeah, I thought it was just amazing. I remember being involved in talent relations, and you'd been home for three or four, I don't know, almost 4 years, maybe more, I don't know, it's a long time. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm talking to these young guys, and we're bringing guys in, and we're recruiting guys and training guys, and you know, bringing these new guys in like John Cena and Randy Orton and these guys. And you know, I find myself, you know, I sound like the old timer I didn't really want to be, but you're trying to give them illustrations. And, well, you know, Shawn Michaels, young guys, well, where is Shawn Michaels? Well, he's home, but, you know, he could come back. And let me tell you, if he comes back, you just better hope that you're booked with him because you're going to get better. Or you better hope you don't have to follow him. Because that's even worse. And I was kind of throwing that around, you know. Then all of a sudden, I remember coming down to San Antonio and us talking about you coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And because my theory was always this. I always thought that people, and maybe it was my naivete, but I thought that I knew you pretty good. And I thought that people misjudged you as a human being at certain points of your career because they just heard the bad stuff. And I didn't see it that way. I thought, man, he's got so much to contribute. And then you became a born-again Christian, and I'm thinking, well, you know, the worst-case scenario is I got him back in the locker room. He can positively affect a young roster that's very impressionable. And so I was kind of greedy. I wanted you to come back. If you wrestle, cool, but if you didn't, can you just hang out and kind of help these guys a little bit? Because they'll listen to you because they're not going to listen to me. That was
right.
My theory.
I can remember you coming down, and yeah, that was not wrestling. That, you know, again, we still thought I was, you know, done then and physically couldn't do it. And again, it's like, you know, again, I don't know. It's like maybe that's where people thought I was supposed to be coming back at WrestleMania 17 or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I've heard so much stuff, you know. But I mean, yeah, no, I was, I mean, you were just asking about coming back and just doing something, anything on air,
right?
An on-air character, so to speak, and we discussed it, you know, I don't even know that I was, you know, even in a great place then, but it wasn't too much longer after that I was, and I was never in all those years never cleared to wrestle. Even when I came back, I was never technically cleared. That was, you know, I just made that decision on my own and just felt like I could handle it, having no idea that I'd go another 8 years after that.
Amazing.
No, I mean, that's, you know, like you said, you've always said, I always tell people, it's funny, it's like, Sean, it's not that what you were saying back in those days was wrong, it's just your delivery was not exactly great, you know.
Presentation skills. I remember telling you one, you know, I don't know that you're wrong. Boy, your presentation skills can be a little bit abrupt sometimes.
Right, exactly. That's the truth.
Oh, well.
Oh my goodness.
We lived through it. Hey, look, I want to thank you for spending so much time here. I was going to talk about the fact that you had these iconic bosses and Bill Watts and Vern Gagne and Vince McMahon. And did you still keep in touch with Marty Jannetty and all these things that people want to know? And golly, there's a million questions I could go. And this is, could be a series. But nonetheless, I want to thank you for coming on my show. And thank you for all you've done for my career. And, what I think of you as a man and as a father and a husband is a whole lot more important than what I ever think about you as a wrestler. And I said to begin this show, there's nobody that I've ever seen or called a match for that did it better than Shawn Michaels. And I just believe that. And I'll get tweets on that. Well, how can you say that? Because I believe it. And so just thanks for taking the time. If I ever need it on your end, I'm a phone call away. And you're a very special guy to me, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, as you are to me, and by all means, thank you very much. It's high praise because you've seen them all, and I appreciate it. I guess on a side note, you can let people know, Marty and I do stay in touch. We text each other. He sounds very good right now, which is wonderful. But I greatly appreciate it, and I hope your show continues to do well. I know it will. And you got some of the best stories ever, and you know all of us, J.R.
Hey,
so
maybe
I appreciate all that.
Maybe one of these days, my people can get a hold of your people, and we can do a little tag team on a Q&A out there and some appearance somewhere.
I'd love to.
That'd be fun. I think us going on the road and doing a little show here and there might be kind of fun for the wrestling fan.
I see you're doing a lot of that stuff. I don't even know how to begin doing that, so you're gonna have to have one of your guys get a hold of my guys and figure out how we can do that, because that would be wonderful.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a good time, and we could entertain the fans and answer some questions and have some good time. I'll talk to you again real soon.
I will. Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Okay, buddy.